Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Rocking and rolling here as we go through round one of the NFL draft here on the Black and Gold Draft Show at 504 Golf and Entertainment on WWL. We're going to take a break for our top of the hour news. When we get back from that, we'll have the newest Saints draft pick joining us here on WWL Saints Radio, Kelvin Banks Jr. So stay tuned right after the news break here on WWL. Welcome back into the Black and Gold Draft Show. I'm Steve Geller with Bobby Hebert, Mike Dottillion, Mike Hawes, Deuce McAllister. Our wall-to-wall coverage of the first round of the draft. We're at 504 Golf and Entertainment, 3800 Howard Avenue in New Orleans. Join us here. We just had a couple of picks coming off the board. The Cincinnati Bengals with the 17th overall selection and getting Shamar Stewart, Texas A&M edge rusher, and then North Dakota State's Gray Zabel with the 18th overall selection going to the Seattle Seahawks. We now wait for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on the clock.
Man, I hate this stuff with the Bucs. They don't hardly ever miss on an early round draft choice. But I was telling Bob before Seattle pick, man, to me, Gray Zabel, because he's played left tackle, right tackle.
That's
left
right
guard,
on.
Center. Man, and we went to the Senior Bowl. Everybody said, well, he hadn't played that tough competition. All I knew is he kicked everybody's backside when he went to Mobile.
Gray Zabel is going to be a Pro Bowler for the Seahawks. Watch.
And if I were Seattle, I would play him at center. He's that
really
smart. Mentally that smart.
Mike, well, you can say left guard, center, right guard.
Well,
yeah.
I got a question for you, too. And it's not about Zabel, but are we at the point in the draft where some of the quarterbacks start to come off the board?
I think once you hit 20.
You think it's 20?
Pittsburgh,
for
sure.
That. Yeah. I think 21 on is where I think you're going to see it.
I mean, because some teams are calling.
Yeah,
teams
yeah.
Teams are calling, trying to get back in. But, I mean, how much would you have to give Denver
yeah.
for them to move down? Because Denver wants to, I think they want a tailback now.
Running back,
they're
yeah.
going to go after Hampton,
but,
running
but,
back
I
North
mean,
Carolina.
Could you get Hampton at 29? Could you get Hampton early 30s?
I don't know, Mike. You give your opinion on
could
that.
Could you get Trevion Henderson or Quinshon Judkins there?
Both.
Well, both. 27 is the Ravens. They're not going running back. Lions, I ain't
the
going running back.
Commanders might be the wild card.
Yeah. I think Commanders go running back, but I mean, how much of a separation is from Judkin Henderson?
Ain't a lot. Not a lot.
I think it's just your, hey.
Opinion.
Steve, like we talked about, do you want cocoa in your coffee or do you want a little caramel in your coffee? So, I mean, when you talk about some of those running backs, because we talked about it earlier with Coach Joel Thomas, was, in my opinion, between second round and probably early third, you will have 10 to 12 running backs to come off the board.
I think between second into the early part of round four, I think you're right.
No, I don't even give it that far. I don't give it that far.
But, Deuce, all the stud running backs that they have a lot of them, and a number of them is going to be able to play at a high level. But I'm telling you, from a national perspective, people I've heard even talk about with Genty has been Omarion Hampton. Not no Iowa running back, none of them guys. They all think, yeah, second round, all that. But I'm talking about like first round, they've talked about Hampton.
I like Hampton, and, I like yeah. Henderson, but I don't like Henderson in the first round. I like Henderson in the second, but I love his speed.
Okay, yeah. Who would Sean think of that could be my Alvin Kamara? It's not Omarion Hampton.
No, it's not Hampton. It's not Hampton.
It's more Henderson. It's more Henderson.
More Henderson because of his speed.
Exactly.
And now I give Bo another option, but I mean, Henderson can take it 70 tomorrow.
Omarion Hampton's a three-down back. I heard that evaluation.
Yeah. Henderson, too.
Down, but I mean, yeah, both
and he's
both,
big. Omarion Hampton's
are,
big.
But, I mean, but you got to think speed.
Henderson. Okay. Have a lot of thread off the tires.
No.
Because he played in a system.
He split time both years.
And we always have Anderson because it's Jane Daniels, LSU, Washington Commanders.
Yep.
I'd be shocked when they pick if they don't go after a receiver. Like, is Ebuko from the wide receiver Ohio State. Or Matthew Golden, Texas. Yeah, I mean, I'd be shocked if they don't go in the offense to help out Jane Daniels.
I think they go offense. I don't think they go receiver.
Okay. Steve, I think we got maybe Kelvin Banks.
We are going to go to our Open Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line and check in with the Saints' newest draft pick, Kelvin Banks Jr. Thanks so much for joining us. How you doing, man?
Man, I'm doing great. I'm doing even better now that I'm a Saint, man. I'm so happy.
Just so you know, Kelvin, I'm Steve Geller. You're going to be also talking with Saints legends Bobby Hebert, Deuce McAllister, our NFL draft analyst Mike Dettillier, and the voice of the Saints, Mike Haas. We got a full house here ready to sound off. I'm going to hand it off to the Cajun Cannon right now. What you got for him, Cannon?
Well, how excited are you to be a New Orleans Saint, and did you expect this? You know, when you're going to get drafted? How interested are? Did you think maybe you could go with this ninth pick with the New Orleans Saints?
Yeah, I mean, I'm very excited to be a New Orleans Saints. I mean, it couldn't have been a better situation for me. I mean, literally, Houston, Texas is like a couple hours down the road, so family's going to be close. And then, like you said, I definitely had an idea that it could be the Saints that could pick me. But it's also that moment where you can't get too happy or too high on something because you ain't never know what happened. It's the NFL draft. So it was definitely something in the back of my head where I had thought the Saints could pick me.
Now, Kelvin, have you played left tackle your whole life, like left offensive tackle? Because Fuaga, who the Saints drafted in the first round, was a right tackle at Oregon State, but they moved to left tackle because there was a need there. So do you see yourself sliding into left tackle because that's where you played and maybe they'll move Fuaga to right tackle? Well, what's your take on that? What have they told you?
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm ready to play. I'm prepared to play any position on the line that they want to put me at. If it's at left tackle, left guard, or if it's at center, if it's at right guard or right tackle, I'm just ready to go out there and play. Wherever they need me at, that's where I'm ready to go get the job done at.
Kelvin, I want to tell you, this is Deuce McAllister, man. Congratulations and welcome to the organization. I know this Thank season you played with the injury. How did that affect you coming down the stretch? Coming into the year, you were projected as the number one offensive lineman to be drafted pretty much, you know, top five. But I know that you played with an ankle injury coming down the stretch. How did that affect your play, and are you 100% at this point?
Yeah, so to answer your last question, I'm 100% healthy at this point. But like you were saying, it definitely affected my play in many different ways just by me not being able to fully be able to show my maximum style of play, just different things of having to switch up some of my techniques based off of how I'm trying to play off the ankle. But nobody's ever healthy late in the season. So it was one of those moments where you just got to suck it up and go out there and play ball.
Kelvin, Mike Dettillier here. First of all, congratulations. And having watched you, man, it's not a lot of guys, but I see it in this draft class. You along with Will Campbell started as a true freshman at Texas, played every game. And to me, that's amazing because of the position you played. And one of the things Will told me was, you know, I could play 66 snaps. I win 64 times. You know what they remember me by? The two times I got beat. And he said, you're on an island, just like a cornerback. So your thoughts of playing that left tackle position, a lot of times you're not getting a lot of help. And it is unique, not only athletically, but mentally you got to be strong to play that spot.
Yes, sir. You definitely do got to be mentally strong because, like you said, it's literally at any moment you could lose. But then you can win every rep, and that guy beat you on that last rep. Now you're the worst left tackle in the history of football. So it's definitely one of those moments where you got to be mentally strong, got to have that next play mentality. And I feel like I always had that. I've always had that mentality of being a strong person and not letting things kind of disrupt the way I play football.
One more question for you, Kelvin. I know you had, in earlier in your career, you had committed to Oregon, and then Mario Cristobal decided to leave. He goes to Miami of Florida. But I know one thing. Coach O told me, man, we're trying to get Kelvin Banks Jr. here to LSU. So did you visit here? How was the deal coming to Baton Rouge? And I know the Tigers really liked you back then.
Yes, sir. Yeah. I told the story before, man. Literally that visit I did with my OV with Coach O, I fell in love with LSU, man. So I had silently committed. I had committed that day. And when he ended up getting fired, I was kind of mad because literally, if you want to be honest, I probably would have ended up at LSU if Coach O would have still been there.
Kelvin, this is Mike Haas. I do the radio play-by-play with Deuce, and you've won the Lombardi. You've won the Outland Trophy. So many great things have happened, but there's some things that not many people get to hear, and that is your name being drafted. Talk about that moment, because you were very emotional on the screen, and it's a huge screen here in New Orleans. But talk about that moment and what hearing that name meant.
Yeah, it was a great moment for me and my family, just based off of how much we've been through. I mean, I wouldn't say we grew up the worst, but we didn't have exactly everything everybody had. But my parents always made sure we had what we needed. So it's just one of those moments where I just think back on all the stuff I had to go through, all the stuff my parents had to go through, my mom, my dad, my brother, and just thinking back, like, I'm somebody who can now, like, put a better narrative on things and kind of help out with the family and stuff like that. So just a lot of emotions going through, just thinking about all the times and all the hard times we had to go through in the past.
Calvin, just wondering if you got a chance to talk to head coach Kellen Moore yet, and your impressions of just whoever you were in contact with before getting drafted.
Yeah, so before getting drafted with the Saints, I really only communicated with them from the combine and then pro day. So we had some great interactions at the combine and the pro day, and I kind of feel the energy of all the coaches, Coach Nugent, Coach Moore, and just feeling out the organization itself. It was a great connection, and I feel like that's what led to them overall kind of just choosing to pick me, and I really appreciate them for that.
KJ Cannon, what you got?
Now, Calvin, now, how do you view, because you look, you want to be able to do both at a high level. Where do you think you're at right now as far as, I know you want to be dominant in all areas, but are you more like considered a pass protector or like a run blocker? Because what I read, they said a polished pass protector with athleticism and could be a valuable blocker also in the run game. So how do you, when you look at yourself and you critique yourself, how do you view you as far as your pass blocking and also run blocking?
Yeah, I say there's weaknesses and there's strengths into my game in both parts of the aspect. I feel like I have a lot more to – I feel like I have a lot more technique consistently-wise to work on. I feel like I wouldn't put one over the other, but I feel like the biggest thing for me is going to be consistently having great technique through each and every rep.
Calvin, one more thing before we let you go. Try to talk to General Manager Mickey Loomis and kind of convince him to bring along Jaden Blue with you, too, the running back.
Yeah, so, man, I don't think it'll be hard to convince him, man. He's a great playmaker. He's a great kid. I mean, we played with each other for the 3 years I've been there, and he's been the same guy, the same explosive player, the same hard character, loves to win, hates losing, a guy who's going to put it all on the field for you. So I feel like his tape kind of speaks for itself, so it's not so much I can say to kind of try to convince. He just got to go turn the tape on.
Calvin, definitely awesome stuff. Hear the joy in your voice of getting drafted by the New Orleans Saints. One thing we got to ask from you, now that you're a member of the Black and Gold, let us hear that "Who Dat" chant for the fans out there.
Yes, sir. Who that said he's going to beat Tim Saints? Let's go.
All right. Kelvin Banks joining us here on WWL Saints Radio.
Who that?
We're here at our Black and Gold Draft Show at 504 Golf and Entertainment. Taking a break here. We'll be back with more of our coverage of the first round. Stay tuned right after this on WWL.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
WL, yes indeed, welcome back in. We're here at the 504 Golf and Entertainment Facility at 3800 Howard Avenue in New Orleans. Checking in on the last few picks that have come in the first round here. Gray Zabel at the 18th overall pick going to the Seattle Seahawks. Tampa Bay Buccaneers would get Emeka Egbuka, wide receiver out of Ohio State with a 19th overall selection. And then the Denver Broncos with the 20th overall pick get Johnny Barron, the cornerback out of Texas, coming off the board. Now it's the Pittsburgh Steelers on the clock with pick number 21. Could we see Shador here? We shall find out. Right now, though, let's check in back at the Saints facility. And with that, we go to our sideline reporter, Jeff Nowak. Jeff, get in with us. Jeff, how's it going out there?
You know, it's going. We got the linemen. I'm kind of fascinated to see what happens here, like you mentioned, with the Steelers, because I kind of feel like if the Steelers want, they can start off a pretty crazy kind of QB race where people are going to start climbing over each other to try to get in the back end of this first round. If they don't, kind of feels like they could start being like a game of chicken here. But no, I mean, I think I'm sure a lot of fans are kind of frustrated by the offensive linemen of it all. I will say I view it as a good sign that Kelvin Banks knows the second verse of the Houdat chant. I've heard a lot of these Houdats on the radio, and they rarely get past that first yell. But no, I mean, I think there's a lot of exciting names on the board. Tyler Warren was there. Colston Loveland was there. At the end of the day, the Saints need to figure out their offensive line. They need to have those bookend tackles. They have, you know, you kind of look back to recent history and say, where was the Saints offense when they had Teron Armstead, Ryan Ramczyk rolling, and where have they been the last few years? What's been the biggest difference? You know, it's kind of fitting that those two guys retired this offseason, and now you can look at it and say, Taliese Fuaga, Kelvin Banks, you can kind of move forward with these as your bookend tackles that, you know, you've been looking for a long time. And so, you know, I like it. I'm interested to see what they decide to do, whether they decide to start Kelvin Banks inside at guard or whether they try to move Trevor Penning inside to guard. Kelvin, when we talked to him, said, hey, I'll play anywhere. He hasn't really played guard. He hasn't really played a lot of right tackle, obviously played exclusively on the left side at Texas. But, you know, I think you guys talked to him. You understand it's pretty clear, evident pretty quickly that, you know, his personality is easy to get behind. He's a fun guy. He's very intelligent. And I'm looking forward to seeing him work.
Now, you know, Jeff, you know, some Saints fans said that's a reach. Is that really a reach? I want your opinion on this. Because in mock drafts, Mike and I was talking about this. Like, I had him going 16th to the Cardinals. And then even 18th possibly to Seattle. You look at the needs. So when you look at the 9th pick and 16th pick, it's not as drastic as when you look at Dallas and who they end up picking, you know, the guard, Booker. And that was more like a 20s guy who Dallas picked at number 12. So what is your take on that? To me, be a first rounder now, you know, there's like a few picks later or sooner. Does that really truly make a difference? But what's your take on that on Banks? You know, because obviously that number of players maybe thought would go to the Saints instead of Banks. But I don't think it's that much of a reach.
I mean, it's all relative to your board, right? Like, I always get a kick out of, oh, it's a reach. Well, I don't think the Saints just scrolled down their list of names. We're like, actually, we have all these guys rated high, but we're going to take this guy. No, you take Kelvin Banks because he's the top name on your board at a position where you feel like you have a need. So, I don't know. Like, you could say, hey, this guy's a reach, that guy's a reach. At the end of the day, if you've scouted him, if you like him, if he checks all the boxes you needed a guy to check, you know, like I heard Deuce talking about this earlier, you came into this season and Kelvin Banks was kind of the odds-on favorite to be the first tackle off the board. That didn't happen. He dealt with that injury. I think that affected him. But the Saints clearly liked him. They clearly feel like he's a guy that you can figure out. And, you know, I like the idea of maybe getting Taliese Fuaga back to right tackle. So, you know, we've seen the Saints do this. The Saints love to draft through the lines. They've told us, you know, when Deuce and Haas were talking to Kellen Moore earlier, he said this is a big boy game. You need to build through the lines. They've been telling us for days now that they wanted to bring in some big boys to anchor the trenches, and so you did. So I don't know. It's not a reach if he delivers. And I think that at the end of the day, what needs to happen is you need to hit these picks. You cannot have missed picks. When you go big in the first round, you cannot miss on those picks like you did with a Trevor Penning. Like, even an Andres Pete, right? Like, you didn't draft Andres Pete as a guard. He ended up being a good guard. But you draft these guys as tackles. You need them to deliver as tackles. So, you know, at the end of the day, if you have a starting left tackle for the next 8 to 10 years, then it doesn't really matter whether you see it as a reach now. It was a successful pick. So that's what you need to figure out. Is this guy a starter day one? Where are you going to play him? And how can you kind of set up this offense for success?
Now, Jeff, this is almost a quarter of a century. I said this at the beginning of the draft show. Since 2002, the Saints have used an NFL high, 15 first-round draft picks on an offense or a defensive lineman. And you look at, like, what lately, since 2018, they've drafted offensive or defensive line with 6 or 7 first-round picks. The only exception was the receiver Chris Olave in 2021. So, like you said, we need to, like, try not to change the narrative. This is what the Saints do. You're going, since 2002, Mike, no one has drafted more linemen in the NFL than the Saints. Again, since 2002, the NFL high, 15 first-round draft picks, either offensive or defensive linemen.
You got a hit.
But that's what they do. Yeah. They number one. So we should not be surprised
that they went this far.
Now, we might have thought maybe with the edge guy would count as a defensive lineman,
yeah,
I guess.
Defensive
yeah,
line.
Yeah. So then we thought they were going in that direction.
Jeff, the other thing, too, is when you look across this roster, the one thing that's glaring for me, big hole-wise, and we can talk about quarterback, but exclude that, is that cornerback. Somewhere along the line, early,
yeah,
this team has to address that cornerback situation. Because Superman, he's not in the telephone booth getting undressed to save the day for you. You're going to have to get somebody early in the draft to fill one of those spots, at least help at the cornerback position.
Yeah, cornerback, we're not virgins, but we ain't too far from it. I mean, look, Alante Taylor, Kool-Aid McKinstry. No, think how young we are at cornerback. And last year at this time, we were bragging on the cornerback room because you had Lattimore and Devo. No, we inexperienced when you truly look at it. We have 3 NFL guys.
Yeah, you got to get some. You got to get some experience.
Get some
in
bodies.
There. Yeah, you got to get some bodies in there. Get some experience in there.
I agree with you guys, and I don't think this is a particularly deep class at cornerback either. So I think it's gonna, it's gonna come down to, okay, how much do you want a quarterback, or how much do you want a cornerback? Because I think if you sit at 40, there's going to be some really intriguing options. Or you can trade up like you did last year with Kool-Aid McKinstry. If you kind of throw your lot in and try to go get your quarterback here, I don't know if there's going to be a guy in the 3rd or 4th round that really is going to move the needle for you. You know, there's only been 2 cornerbacks off the board as we sit here right now. Jahdae Barron, I thought, was going to go a lot higher than 20th. Obviously, you know, Travis Hunter, if you view him as a cornerback or a wide receiver, he would be the first one off the board. So, I mean, there's a lot of intriguing cornerback options there. It's just going to be a question of, okay, where do you choose to put your assets? Because at this point, we have still not seen anyone go after a quarterback not named Cam Ward. The Steelers need a quarterback. They did not draft one. So, you know, you're going to see a few interesting picks here. But I agree with you. I think if you only have 2 starting outside cornerbacks, which is what I would say the Saints have right now, obviously Ike Yiadom is in the mix with Kool-Aid McKinstry and Alante Taylor. You know, this team has not felt like that was enough, right? Like, when they picked Alante Taylor, you felt like, well, that's a luxury pick. Well, then you look at last year and you picked Kool-Aid McKinstry. Those 2 guys are starting. Like, what, 1 cornerback injury and suddenly your defense on the outside falls apart really fast. So I agree with you. I think if I'm the Saints and I'm not trading up and trying to go get a quarterback, that's the position I'm looking at in the 2nd round.
Well, and you look at it, just shows you how you structure the team. A guy we're very familiar with, how he thinks a cornerback. Look at Sean Payton. He might have the best cornerback in Surtain, and look, they just drafted Barron. So you talk about that 1-2 punch and what Sean thinks. And look how good Vance, Joseph, with the defensive coordinator of the Broncos. Everyone wants to talk about Sean.
Vance Joseph.
Yeah, and what they did offensively. But the Broncos defense, I tell you what, that's one difference why they turned around as a playoff team.
Tell me what division they play in as well.
The AFC.
West.
No, the West.
Oh, the AFC, but yeah, to keep up with, with the
Chiefs. Who are those quarterbacks
Chiefs
over there?
Chiefs, Chargers, yeah. Oh, Justin Herbert.
Okay. Yeah, who are those quarterbacks over there?
Exactly.
Speaking of Vance Joseph, when you look at Jahdae Barron, he was coached by Terry Joseph.
Yeah, he was.
Who the Saints just have now as their defensive pass game coordinator.
Small world.
Right? Shaw guy. And so he'll know a lot about Barron. He's coached some big ones.
And Jahdae has played all over the board. He's played outside corner. He's played nickel. He's played free safety. Sean got what he wanted. He wanted a kind of queen piece in chess, he could move either on offense or defense. He found one with Barron on defense.
Now, what do y'all think? Shador Sanders, we all thought he's going to go to the Steelers. I got a two-part question. How many quarterbacks do you think will get drafted in the first round? And how many teams do you think are going to try and maybe trade and get it back in the first round, maybe to take a couple of quarterbacks?
I think three. I think three overall in the first round, quarterbacks.
So you think at least two more before the round's over?
I think Sanders and Dart go.
Yeah, okay, okay.
I think they both go.
That makes sense.
Here in the first round, and the Giants are trying to get back in. I'm pretty sure the Saints are probably trying to get back in. And the other question is, I don't know, probably another team or two are trying to get back in.
Cleveland.
Well, Cleveland.
Well, Cleveland, yeah.
The problem with Cleveland is they don't have any more picks.
Yeah.
I mean, you just
they traded them.
You traded them, but you got Deshaun. You gave away all your picks for Deshaun.
Right now, to show you how, if you steady Eddie and you still can keep a job, Cleveland's still counting on Joe Flacco. Look at Joe Flacco.
Joe Flacco left and came back.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I'm saying. It shows there's not enough quarterbacks. That's why the Red Rifle. Andy Dalton always have a job.
He signed a two-year deal.
Yeah, Carolina couldn't
wait. You were born too early, Mike.
Carolina,
think how much you could make.
Carolina couldn't wait to keep him. Same thing with Joe Flacco. As long as they steady, they'll have a job. They'll be like 44, 45 years old.
Right.
Jeff, how's the buzz over there in the media room? And are you getting any inklings that the Saints maybe could trade back into round one to possibly grab a quarterback?
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't think anyone's closing their laptops quite yet. Let's put it that way. I mean, it's you're kind of just sitting here waiting for that first team to make that move. And we'll see. You know, the Rams are a team that's interesting. They could take a quarterback. I don't know. I think if the Saints are serious about going after a quarterback, they're going to want to do it here. I don't think they're going to want to wait and see what happens at the top of the second round, because you're sitting there looking at the Browns and the Giants. So I don't think it serves anyone that's after a quarterback, like Deuce was saying, to sit there and wait. So, no, I mean, I'm very much ready to be typing feverishly here in a few minutes. And it's just a question of, you know, how invested the Saints or these other teams feel in these quarterback prospects. I don't know. I'm not necessarily convinced that Shador is the first one off the board here. I think teams passing on him all the way down, the Steelers need a quarterback. They did not take him. They did not take Jackson Dart. So I think that's kind of telling you that this draft class is not full of quarterbacks that people are very excited about. You know, it reminds me of the Kenny Pickett draft class, with the exception that you had Cam Ward at the top, who was kind of this consensus top pick. But even he, you know, you're talking about maybe the sixth or seventh overall top-rated player in this class. He just happens to play a position. So we'll see. I think that they're in the mix here, and it's going to come down to whether they can get the right trade, and does it become a bidding war with some of these other teams that are looking to get in.
Jeff, thanks so much for the time. We'll be checking back with you again soon.
Sounds good, y'all. Thanks.
All right, Jeff.
Jeff Nowak, Saints sideline reporter, joining us there. And guys, looking at the pick that just came off the board, the L.A. Chargers getting running back Omarion Hampton. Not a surprise there for Harbaugh.
Oh, Jim Harbaugh, come on.
What does he like to do, Bobby?
Run the ball. And it's gonna. You know what? It's going to make Justin Herbert be even better. And you know what? It's going to come right at Sean Payton. You know, because I thought maybe Hampton could go to the Broncos. Ooh, then, you know, all of a sudden Sean might say, damn, in our division, now we got to tackle him. I kind of liked it, but I went corner. No, I think this guy is going to be a stud like Jente. I think he is that good.
No, I don't have him that high like Jente, but I do have him as a really, really good football player.
He ain't as good as you do.
He's a good back.
He's definitely a first rounder.
He's definitely a first rounder. The only thing I would probably say is he doesn't have that third gear.
Gotcha.
He's got a great first and second gear.
Right.
But, I mean, in that offense, me and you talked off air, he's going to get it 30 times.
Yeah, Jim Harbaugh, they're gonna get their money's worth. He'll get 30 carries. I know, like, okay, we're saving him 15 carries. 15 times two, you get 30 carries.
Hanging out at 504 Golf and Entertainment here on the Black and Gold Draft Show. The Green Bay Packers are currently on the clock, waiting to make their pick. After that, Minnesota Vikings, Houston Texans, and then the LA Rams. Back with more of our preview and coverage of this draft right after this on WWL. Steve Geller here with Saints legends Bobby Hebert, Deuce McAllister. They're also got draft analyst Mike Dettillier, Mike Hoss around, the voice of the Saints, bringing every pick of the draft, plus all-pro analysis. Come join us at 504 Golf and Entertainment right here on Howard Avenue in New Orleans. Last couple of picks happening in the draft. We just had the Pittsburgh Steelers at pick number 21, getting Derek Harmon, defensive lineman out of Oregon, then running back out of UNC, Omarion Hampton, going to the LA Chargers. The pick is in right now at number 23 for the Green Bay Packers. We're waiting for right now.
Well, you look at Derek Harmon. You know why that makes sense? And Mike said he's dealing with Andrew, but you know why that makes sense? Guess who's getting older? Cameron Hayward, Arnhead's kid, who's been a stud for the Steelers. I coached him when he was in fifth grade. Do you know Cameron Hayward? Now, you look at the Steelers, what he's done. You know, it's unbelievable, the offspring. I look at, like, he's got awesome offspring. Oh, his son.
Cameron Hayward is a Hall of Famer.
No, and
to make this historic pick, please give it up for first-team All-Pro, Pro Bowler, two-time Super Bowl champion, and Packers president and CEO, Mark Murphy.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Roger. How about this atmosphere? Isn't it unbelievable? Roger, thank you and the NFL for bringing the draft here to Green Bay for the best draft in the history of the NFL, right here. On behalf of the Packers, Packer fans here in Green Bay, Wisconsin, and everywhere, because our fans are everywhere, it is my pleasure to welcome you all to the NFL Draft at Lambeau Field. It is our honor and privilege to host this wonderful event in our community, particularly since we are the only community-owned team in the NFL. Just out of curiosity, how many of you are owners? Yes. We also have the best owners in the NFL. And we also want to celebrate the special connection we have with our fans that dates back to the early days of professional football. With the 23rd pick in the 2025 NFL Draft, the 13-time world champion Green Bay Packers, for the first time since 2002, draft a wide receiver. Matthew Golden, wide receiver of Texas.
Well, there you have it. The Green Bay Packers actually taking a wide receiver
in the first round.
And the thing is, they've always had, like, as of late, a bunch of number twos, and now to help out Jordan Love. I mean, that's what that's all about. Wouldn't you agree, Deuce?
No, I agree. I mean, they needed an alpha. They've got really good receivers.
Yeah, right.
All of them are young, and they're not paying really any of them.
Right.
But I don't know if they had an alpha, and they're hoping that Matthew Golden
will be that alpha.
Will be that guy. But, Mike, does he show up on film?
Not always.
At times.
Not always.
Every once in a while, man, he really, really looks great. But he was not that number one receiver early. Isaiah Bond was.
Isaiah Bond was the number one receiver.
He won the offseason.
A transfer.
He won the offseason.
And so.
You say Matthew Golden won the offseason.
He won the offseason.
Oh, yeah, no, Mike, because all the mock drafts dudes know, he was up there with the boy from Ohio State. No, he was there amongst the best.
Well, we're talking about coming into it.
Coming into the season.
I got you.
It was Isaiah Bond, the transfer.
Yeah.
But boy, does he give you a speed element?
He's a vertical threat.
Ooh, man.
He's a vertical threat. He's a what? 4. He
4-2.
He was 4-2 guy. So he was the one that said he was going to break the record at the combine. And he didn't do it. And probably ran even worse a time at Texas. The knock is that Texas is not a 40-yard dash. It's a 39 and a half. He said about a half a yard short. That's why all of the times, guys.
They got bad times. They were slick with it.
They were slick with it.
So, Bobby, I know we talked about this off air. Will Johnson, the Michigan corner,
would make sense.
They said that he is dealing with a knee injury
again,
and he couldn't run to start with.
Well, he didn't exactly, and so he didn't run. He worked out, you know, and said, hey, my tape speaks for itself. But when you go look at his tape, there are some times he doesn't locate well. And then, you know, you question his speed.
And he's a good zone corner. And, you know, the last time the Saints went with a zone corner, you remember Dukie David?
No bad memory.
I was like saying, man, but talk about a missed sign individual. You're trying to play a cover two corner, and you're a man-to-man team. Yeah, man-to-man team. You got a Tampa two corner, Dukie David. Whoo, man, the Houdat Nation was calling up them post-game shows.
Think about it as a sophomore. He was the man.
Well, I mean,
at corner.
Even this year, I mean, early on. Yeah, early on, a lot of people had him being the first corner taken. I mean, obviously, you have to put a hyphen by Travis Hunter. You know, whether you consider him a corner or receiver, but it was Will Johnson.
Well, I can tell you what. Now, an opportunity, you get weapons. You know who has to step up? I just saw in the draft. Two young guys, Jordan Love with the Packers and Trevor Lawrence with the Jaguars. Because look at the playmakers they got now.
Yeah, I agree.
Travis Hunter, come on. We give you weapons now. What are you going to do? Because Jordan Love, he has a ways to go to accomplish what Aaron Rodgers or Brett Favre, any of those cats. Now, Jordan Love has a lot of ability, but we'll see what he'll do. Because, come on, he's still trying to catch the Vikings and the Lions. The Packers. Come on. The Bears?
The Bears have closed the gap.
Right. I'm telling you, NFC North.
Well, Texas wide receiver Matthew Golden was the last person off the board going to the Green Bay Packers at pick number 23. The pick is in now for the Minnesota Vikings, but we're going to step away for a break at our black and gold draft coverage here at 504 Golf and Entertainment. So see you right after this break on WWL. Oh, welcome back into the black and gold draft show here at 504 Golf and Entertainment, 3800 Howard Avenue in New Orleans. Gentlemen, we've got a trade happening in the NFL draft right now in the first round. For that, we're going to go back to our studios and let Charlie Long break down the latest for us. What, Charlie?
Guys, this one's a lot simpler than the last one. The Giants get pick number 25 from the Houston Texans. Meanwhile, Houston gets pick number 34, which is in the second round, pick number 99 in the third round, and a 2026 third round pick. The Giants basically move up 9 spots, and we all imagine that they're going to be selecting a quarterback here, gentlemen.
Charlie, I think that one's Jackson Dart.
Jackson Dart.
It is.
It's got to be Jackson Dart.
They picked him.
They spent a lot of time with Jackson.
Yeah, and then Eli is a part, basically a consultant for the Giants.
Yep.
That was
the Ole Miss Giants connection, Deuce.
That's the connection. Number three was going to be always a little high to pick Jackson Dart. It was probably 20 to 32, and the pick is in for the Giants, and I feel pretty confident in saying that it will be Jackson Dart at that pick.
Now, Deuce, the question I have for you, y'all chime in here. Jackson Dart, how interested were the Saints? Let's say if the Giants don't make this move.
I think the Saints were really interested.
But right, like late first round, early second, not stay at 40, but to come and get Jackson Dart.
Well, not only Jackson Dart, I think they were coming to get a quarterback. Well, Jackson Dart was one that they really liked. So the Saints have been trying to move back into the first round to be able to get a quarterback.
So, see, I don't think now they'd move up and get Shador. Now, maybe y'all might think different. I don't think they go late first round or early second to get
Bobby,
Shador.
Did I say Shador or a quarterback?
He said a quarterback.
Also, it might be the Jeff Duncan, the Louisville guy.
Or Jerry.
A
quarterback, Milrow. Bobby.
Yeah. Quarterback. A quarterback.
Oh, that's right. Oh, so the
You don't even want to get it out.
No. I didn't want to butcher his first name. The Shore Sanders?
Shador.
Yeah, Shador Sanders. Boy, he's really falling now. Ooh,
I still think he gets picked in the first round.
You still think, dude?
Yes.
Oh, okay. All right.
Rams? Like who?
Now, the
Rams want to win now. No, why would I pick a quarterback now?
So wait, but even if the Rams.
You got to think, if the Giants moved up for a second and a third, you know kind of the price. It goes down a little bit, but there are teams that are trying to move up.
Yep.
What's the price now.
Right.
Yeah. And they've set the price.
That's what I'm saying.
They've
you just
set
know
it.
What the price is.
Do we see Cleveland make a move now?
Or even the Steelers again. The Steelers still need a quarterback.
I agree.
You know, but the Rams, they wanted Jackson Dart. All what I've read, they were
if
more.
They were going to pick it.
They were more on that Jackson Dart train.
It's official. It's Dart.
Hey, but as soon as Matthew Stafford came back, okay, we got that window. How can we help Matthew Stafford?
2 years.
Yes.
Exactly. Get me a lineman or get me a skill player.
Right, right.
That can really haul tail downfield. But at his age, I would be concerned about protecting him.
Yeah, sure, without a doubt.
Because I know one thing, Matt Stafford can still sling it.
Oh, no, without a doubt. But look, we all saw that what have you done lately, that Eagles playoff game, their team at the end gave the best chance to beat the Super Bowl chance.
So we saw pick 24 was Donovan Jackson from Ohio State going to the Minnesota Vikings. The New York Giants moving up to pick number 25 and getting what they think is their QB of the future now. Now it's a pretty stacked room over there in New York.
Yeah, but you don't want Dart to play right away.
No.
You would want him to give almost a redshirt year,
to be
honest with you.
Hey, yeah. And listen to this. This was a pick more about the owner's perspective than the head coach and a general manager.
Bingo.
Both of those guys, and I particularly the head coach, I don't want to say I know him well. I've met Dabo. I would say that they're probably on the hot seat. So they want to win.
Right.
So they're going to get somebody at the number three position that can help them win right now. Now, the owner, I want to be able to sell tickets.
Right.
I want to be able to have a guy that, you know, can have some influence. And I think Dart gives you that.
Well, guess what? We do have a team moving back into the first round, guys, but it's the Atlanta Falcons.
Well, you know they taking a quarterback.
Well, we know it's not a quarterback.
Well, they didn't got that last year.
Well, I mean, they're going to be basically done. They'll have to give it unless they give up. They only had five. They've picked one. If they trade much of the 25 draft, they'll be pretty much, unless they push them into 26.
Man, my thing is, I hate to say it, but I hope they don't get another good defensive player.
Mike Green, watch for Marshall.
Right.
If Mike Green should not be here. But the off-the-field stuff, you get it.
Stick around for more of our Black and Gold Draft Show live from 504 Golf and Entertainment on Howard Avenue in New Orleans. Coming back right after this on WWL. Action still fast and furious here on our Black and Gold Draft Show at 504 Golf and Entertainment. Had Jackson Dart getting taken by the New York Giants after they traded back into the first round. Right after that, Atlanta Falcons moving into pick number 26. The pick is in. We're waiting on that. We're going to take a break. Be back with even more right after this on WWL.